Line, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And, of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. We are live here at Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight, hosting the Winnipeg Jets. But there is somebody who this time of year always seems to butt his big fat head into the rumor mill. It's been the past couple of off seasons that all of the talk has been about Aaron Rodgers. And yet here he is again. Adam Schefter was on ESPN over the weekend with a report on Aaron Rodgers' future.
So assuming that he's not walking away from $100 million in guaranteed money, sounding like the guy that he does, now we've got two options. Either he's back in Green Bay or he's traded. And there's a real possibility that both sides here are going to be thinking about him being traded. If you look at the Packers' cap situation, they right now are one of the teams that's over the salary cap. They've got to find room somewhere. They're, by the way, about $15 million over the cap. If they trade Rodgers this offseason, they would clear out $16 million. But aside from the math, there's just the common sense standpoint of this. Again, he, for a while, has had thoughts about leaving. This goes back a couple of years. The Packers have had thoughts about moving on from him. That's gone on for a while. At some point in time, they may want to take a look at Jordan Love. There's salary cap considerations. I think that there are going to be moments this offseason where they're going to wind up talking to teams to see whether it's worth it to move ahead and trade Aaron Rodgers. And that, to me, is going to be one of the central storylines of the offseason, moving on from a guy. And just like we couldn't imagine the day would come that they would trade Brett Favre, they traded Brett Favre. He was 38 years old, turned 39 that season. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 39 right now. So there are some real questions about his future and whether or not it's in Green Bay. And both sides still have to figure it out, but there's the real possibility that this could result in a trade.
Okay, so it's deja vu all over again for two reasons. One, because this is now the third offseason in a row where we have heard about Aaron Rodgers being unhappy in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers potentially being traded, Aaron Rodgers potentially going to another team the next season. And I think it's also interesting that Adam Schefter brings up Brett Favre, because it feels like this is the Brett Favre situation in Green Bay all over again. They come in, they're loved, they win a lot of games, they make a lot of money, and then it's, you know, the relationship starts to go a little bit sour from there. But Adam Schefter, and he's saying, you know, I think it's like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like the Green Bay Packers want to trade Aaron Rodgers. And I don't blame Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is nothing but a crybaby. Aaron Rodgers does nothing but complain about that franchise. Aaron Rodgers is freaking expensive. $100 million guaranteed over the next two seasons. Ridiculous amount of money. So I don't blame the Green Bay Packers for wanting to move on from Aaron Rodgers. He is like a pimple on the face of the National Football League. He's just so just frustrating to deal with. But the question is, if not Green Bay, then where?
Well, that's going. That's the what you said. They owed him $100 million in the next 2 seasons. That's the $100 million
guaranteed over the
question.
Next 2 seasons.
And I don't feel bad. I don't feel sorry for Green Bay. Nor do I feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers. I don't feel sorry for Green Bay because they allowed themselves to be put in this position. And I don't feel bad for Aaron Rodgers because he's going to get $100 million in the next 2 seasons. So whatever happens to the Green Bay Packers, they deserve it. And I hate to say that because I do like Green Bay. You know, they're a historic franchise. You know, I grew up watching them. So you still want them to have, you know, as a football guy, I still want them to have some success. But everybody knows the situation Green Bay's in. Mm-hmm. Green Bay is going to ask for the moon to get rid of to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, and no team's going to give away the moon to get him because they know exactly what's going on, or they know to an extent what's going on. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. It's not like the Brett Favre and you know, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. This is not the same situation. They believed in Aaron Rodgers. That's why they chose to remove themselves from Favre. I don't know if they truly believe in
Jordan Love.
Love, I was about to say Trey Lance. But Jordan, I don't think they truly believe in Jordan Love. So they can't just, we need to move on from, unless they just want to reset the whole franchise and go into rebuilding mode. But one, who's going to take on a quarterback that is owed $100 million in the next two seasons, that's getting older, and that, you know, frankly, you know, at times has shown, at times he's shown like, does he really love this game like he used to, you know?
The answer is, at least from my perspective, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
it just seems like that sometimes.
The last 3 years he's talked about, I don't even know if I want to play football
exactly.
anymore.
So if you're, and I know how it gets, you know, as you start to get up there in age and you start to contemplate, but you don't verbally say it out loud every season for the last two or three seasons, oh, I'm thinking about retiring. You know how much you're putting your franchise, you know, putting them in this weird situation. Like, he wants to retire. He doesn't want to retire. How do we move forward? You held, you know, you, they couldn't do anything last year. Why? Because you kept saying, you didn't decide until the end what you wanted to do. And by then, your best receiver is gone. And now you're complaining about you don't have receivers. Well, damn it, you should have told the Green Bay Packers what you were doing. And maybe they would have been able to keep Adams if you wouldn't have took all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it seem like a little bit of a tired act?
Exactly.
By now?
Yeah.
I really wonder how the diehard Packer fans feel about him. He's a legendary quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's won a Super Bowl. He's been league MVP. He's an amazing generational quarterback. But this has got to be getting old, doesn't it?
It has to be tiring. And also, you mentioned he won a Super Bowl. It's been a long time since he's won a Super Bowl. And he's kind of been the poster child for being really highly regarded in the playoffs, maybe even getting the first round bye. Like last year, Green Bay is the top seed in the NFC, and then they get bounced in the divisional round of the playoffs. I don't even know how many NFC championships he's lost. So, D-Mace, to your point about – you think he's going to come back to Green Bay because what other options does Green Bay have? Mm-hmm. Look at, I mean, this year, Green Bay missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They could look at it like, well, we could miss the playoffs with Jordan Love and get a whole better deal for it. Yeah. And also, don't forget, Green Bay moved up to draft Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I think it may have been a little bit of spite to Aaron Rodgers, but the general manager could look at it like, look, we moved up to draft this guy in the first round, and we haven't gotten much from him. We may as well go ahead and trade Aaron Rodgers, get more draft capital, see what we have in Jordan Love. If we see what we have in him and we don't like it, then we can move on from him. But we spent a first-round pick on him. So we may as well go ahead and see and then save $100 million in the process.
But, like, with the tag of the $100 million or whatever you have to do, I wonder what kind of trade value you actually have. I do think that will affect what you could get if you were just saying, hey, let's trade him. Like, if it was a fantasy football, then you could get a boatload of things back. But with that number attached, that current contract, and like, if you're another team, sometimes I think it's like, well, let's just wait and see what happens. He doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. They're getting tired of it. So will they eventually cut him? Like, I don't know if they can ever cut him.
But you want
to try to start fresh with your own kind of contract for him if there's a way to do that.
And I don't think, you know, it's going to have to take a team that sort of thinks like the Rams did last year, where, okay, we're going all in this 1 year. We just don't care.
I don't care what the money is. Yeah.
But I look at Aaron Rodgers, and from a talent standpoint, he might be the greatest quarterback up until this point that has ever played the position. Now, Joe Burrow, he might have something to say about that in 5 years. So he's the most talented, Rodgers is. But he's not one of the greatest. He's just not. He's not in the air again. I talked about the air being very thin yesterday. He's not in the Brady's. He's not in the Manning, the Montana. He's not in that air. Why? Because he only won one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he has fell apart in the playoffs. Ever since he's won that Super Bowl, they have not gotten no further than AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had who we have said has been a generational quarterback. And he had pieces around him. And he still have not been able to do it. He will never be in the air with Montana, Brady, and Manning ever until he started winning Super Bowls. And right now, he's at the end of his career. Unless he goes to a team that is ready-made to win now, he's not going to win one.
And he's a 39-year-old, $100 million quarterback. It's a tough position.
Yeah, from a talent standpoint, he's the greatest. I mean, from a talent.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about quarterbacks that win, no, he's nowhere near those guys.
So where could be a potential landing spot for Aaron Rodgers? Peter King took to Football Morning in America, listed out some potential suitors, and a name that could be interesting for Titans fans. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. 106.3, The Game. We are live here at Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators hosting the Winnipeg Jets tonight. But the big story around the league, as Adam Schefter has reported, that the Packers could be interested in trading Aaron Rodgers. Now, the good part about that, you get Aaron Rodgers. You know, I would say so many teams across the leagues, you know, barring the Kansas City Chiefs, barring the Buffalo Bills, barring the Cincinnati Bengals, barring whatever team lands Tom Brady, you are upgrading at quarterback if you bring in Aaron Rodgers. But that also means bringing in his $100 million contract. That also means bringing in the baggage that inevitably is going to come with Aaron Rodgers. So if the Packers do decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill, who would be likely suitors? Peter King wrote about it in Football Morning in America this week. And if Peter King says it, you know, it's worth listening to.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Peter King writes, the Jets could potentially be in play for Aaron Rodgers. And it was also reported earlier today that the Packers are not interested in trading Aaron Rodgers to an NFC team. So per Adam Schefter, they will, quote, explore the idea of trading the quarterback exclusively to the AFC. So the Jets would fit in that mold. The Jets have also interviewed former Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, of course, who was the Broncos head coach this past year, to be their offensive coordinator, which I don't know how the Jets seem to make more and more Jets decisions year after year after year. And they're the second team in 2 years to hire an Aaron Rodgers guy, or to at least look into hiring an Aaron Rodgers guy to say, hey, Aaron, look, we hired your buddy. We're looking at hiring your buddy. Even though Nathaniel Hackett was an absolute nightmare in Denver and didn't call plays in Green Bay, it's still kind of a putting their elbow out there to say, hey, Aaron, you could be reunited with Nathaniel Hackett. So AFC
and
team, Nathaniel Hackett.
The Jets have a very good roster. Young nucleus, good defense. And if they could get the offense going, you could probably sit there and go, all right, the Jets would be pretty good if they got that together, right?
Yeah. And well, it seems like a very Jets thing to do, like a pretty dumb decision.
Well, who did they do once upon a time?
Brett Favre and the Jets.
Remember that?
Brett Favre and the Jets.
Well, they were close.
Brett Favre and the Jets.
It's like, it would be like 2.0, right? It was like,
yeah.
It literally is deja vu all over again with the Packers quarterback position. But, you know, it seems like a very Jets thing to do. You trade the picks and you pay the money. And, you know, Peter King says the going price for Aaron Rodgers will likely be 2 first-round picks. Mm. I cannot get on board with that. 2 first-round picks and $100 million for a 39-year-old quarterback who hasn't won a damn thing since 2010, 2011. And they've won a lot of games, but no championships to prove for it.
And would Aaron Rodgers get involved with his agent or whatever and say, I will work with you. I will work with you on this contract. I will figure out, let's figure out what's best for the team. I want to win. So let's do this.
No.
He hasn't been that guy, right?
Yeah, he hasn't shown that he's willing to, you know, go down that route, at least not recently. And you know, you look at the Jets, I mean, they have a young roster, an energetic head coach. That defense is pretty good. I mean, they got, if not the best corner, one of the best corners in the National Football League. Hell, he might end up being Defensive Player of the Year the way he played. He will definitely be Rookie Defensive Player of the Year.
Sauce Gardner?
Sauce Gardner, yeah. But he's going to be running for Defensive Player of the Year, period. So they have a young nucleus. They have some young pass catchers. Olave is a number one guy.
Olave's in New Orleans.
Yeah, not Olave.
Garrett Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. So Garrett Wilson is the 1,000-yard receiver, and I'm sure if Aaron comes there, those numbers go up even more. I'm sure if Aaron goes there, then Corey Davis, if he's healthy, his number goes up as well. They got Moore as well, Elijah Moore, who's a pretty good player.
We probably would not want to be traded if Aaron
exactly.
Rodgers. Oh,
exactly.
So well, this is actually looking better.
Exactly. So they have a young nucleus of good players. They need that quarterback. Aaron could be, but he has to come in with a different attitude than he had at Green Bay, I think.
And I think that whatever team decides to trade for Aaron Rodgers, they need to understand that it's you bring Aaron Rodgers in and you change for him. Mm-hmm. He does not change for you. I think that we've seen that with the Packers. That, you know, what he says goes. Mm-hmm. You know, he has his, you know, whatever thing going on, which I think is interesting. The second team that Peter King lists is the New England Patriots. Peter King writes, it seems very Belichickian to perhaps give Mac Jones two learning seasons in the shadows. I think that seems like a very anti-Belichickian move. To guarantee that much money to a quarterback that has that kind of attitude?
Listen, here's the deal. I wouldn't put it past Belichick. You know why? Belichick would never say it. Tom's
middle
already
finger
won a Super
Tom Brady?
Yes, Tom has already won a Super Bowl. Yeah. Minus Belichick. Bill has only been in the playoffs, what, 1 year since Tom left? I think it might have been twice.
They made it last year.
Yeah, so it's been twice, right, since Tom left? It's been one or two times. But they haven't been the same franchise since Tom left. Don't you know he wants to get back to being that franchise so he can win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I'm putting it as a high probability, but I wouldn't put it past Bill to go out and find some way to bring in Aaron Rodgers.
That petty little Belichick.
But I haven't seen the Patriots go for the let's do whatever, let's move mountains, let's mess up our whole thing to get this done. Like, he hasn't made moves like that. You know, he's usually very calculated.
Well, he had, you know, he had not had to. He hasn't had to because he had time.
He hasn't been in this position.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a very good point. Now, the Jets, historically,
yeah,
they will do that. Like, they will make it. It's New York.
They have done that.
Yeah, yeah. And they will do it again, I would think. Even though, to their credit, they have built a little foundation. Like, mm-hmm. I like their young nucleus. They made some inroads this year. They were sitting there at, what, 7-3 at one point this season.
Mm-hmm.
But what was missing? It was
the quarterback. Yeah.
And Dominique Foxworth was on Get Up this morning. And so Peter King lists the Patriots says that would be a Belichickian move to go for Aaron Rodgers. I disagree, but I totally see your point, D-Mace. Lists the Raiders as another potential suitor, which would make sense. Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers reunion in Vegas, unless Brady gets to Vegas first, which of course would be a Josh McDaniels and Brady reunion. But I think that's an attractive landing spot for any veteran quarterback. Mm-hmm. They've got the receivers, they've got the running back, they've got the coach, they've got a good team around the quarterback. Dominique Foxworth was on Get Up this morning, said Packers probably a likely landing spot, Jets, Raiders, and also mentioned the Tennessee Titans. Colin Cowherd also mentioned the Titans and Aaron Rodgers.
Ask yourself this. He's going to be 39 years old, and he's expensive. If Aaron keeps mentioning, I don't know if I'm going to play. The team that gets him doesn't have to give up many picks. What's Green Bay going to? Because Aaron's not going to go play for a crappy team. He'll just retire. Tennessee's the team I put out there. So Mike Vrabel goes, hey, it gives Mike Vrabel leverage. The guy talks retirement every 15 minutes. He's 39 years old. He's doing ayahuasca in the offseason. I'm not giving you 3 first-round picks. I'll give you a 1 and a 2. I think, especially off the Russell Wilson disaster deal, a first and a second, Aaron understands wherever he goes, he doesn't want to gut the team's draft capital. Right? He wants to go to Tennessee. He wants them to have enough picks to get him another receiver. The Burks kid, Trey Burks, they like a lot, but they need another receiver. You don't want to have to give up multiple, couple of first, couple of second. That's what hurts Denver's job right now. Man, they got no picks next year. Is Aaron thinking, you know, I can talk privately with Mike Vrabel? I'm not saying Aaron's done this.
So, our thoughts.
Colin, okay. he's gonna reach for this
exactly.
Each and every year. It's like everything he said, honestly, well, 90% of what he said doesn't make sense. One, Aaron is not in control over what is what Green Bay will be asking for and not. Green Bay don't care that Aaron Rodgers is screaming, I want to retire every year. That'll be your problem, not mine. I want three first-round picks or two first-round picks. If you can't give that up, then, hey, we can keep them. We don't have to trade them. We can keep them. But you're not – just because he's telling me – he's telling the world that he's, you know, he's thinking about retiring every year, we don't care. That ain't going – that's not going to make me say, you know what?
I think they do, though.
No, no. But that's not going to make me say, you know what? All right, I'll take a second. It may be a first, so give it to me because he may retire. No!
Well, okay.
I'm still saying give me my two first-round picks. Somebody, if they really want him, somebody will give it up.
Well, let me say this. Again, this is no knock at Colin Cowherd. He's a very successful at what he does. Mm-hmm. But we have two reports here that we're bouncing around for our own discussion. We have Peter King, who's a reporter, talks to people, talks to agents, talks to football people, makes his report based on that. I don't believe Colin Cowherd did anything but just wake up and just start thinking about teams, mm-hmm. which is fine. That's his job.
Yeah.
But I put zero stock in Colin Cowherd's take. I don't come out of there thinking, oh, yeah, you know, he might be right. Because I know he probably has not talked to anybody on the inside. Because he doesn't have to. He's not a reporter. He's a sports talk show host paid to give opinions. That's fine. That's his opinion. I put no sock in that. Now, Peter King, if he had Titans on the list, I'd be saying, ooh, Peter King says
that's
that?
That's interesting.
That's how I come from it.
And I don't think it's definitely not a report. That's not what Colin Cowherd exactly. does.
But yeah. And he even says it. He couches it. Hey, I'm not saying that he's done this. Because he has no idea. He's just wondering. You know, he dreamed it last night or something. It could. Hey, I wonder. It could. It's plausible. It's all plausible. It's not going to happen.
But I do have thoughts on his opinion. And I'm going to continue to get into your thoughts and calls and texts as well. 615-737-1025. Aaron Rodgers to the Patriots, maybe, as Peter King reports. Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders, maybe, as Peter King reports. Aaron Rodgers of the Titans. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Plus, be caller 3 now to win a pair of tickets to the Sad Summer Fest featuring Taking Back Sunday, Motion City Soundtrack, and more at Ascend Amphitheater on Sunday, July 23rd. D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Per Adam Schefter report coming out over the weekend, the Green Bay Packers would be interested in trading Aaron Rodgers, and I do not blame them. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers has been nothing but a pain in their side over the last few years. This is now the third offseason in the last 3 years where Aaron Rodgers says, I might want to retire, or I might want to come back, or I want more money, or I want more receivers. And when you win games and you win championships, you can make demands like that. Aaron Rodgers missed the playoffs this year. He hasn't won a Super Bowl in, you know, 10-plus years. Mm-hmm. I don't blame the Green Bay Packers and the Green Bay Packers fans for wanting to move on from Aaron Rodgers. We've gotten a bunch of texts in the text line. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Saying, as a Packers fan, I want to see Rodgers gone. It's time to move on. I'm ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. The better years are behind him, so on and so forth. And I don't blame any of those fans. I don't blame the Green Bay Packers organization for wanting to move on from Aaron Rodgers. So when I hear grumblings and rumors about, oh, Aaron Rodgers to the Titans would make sense. You know, the Titans might move on from Ryan Tannehill. Aaron Rodgers and Mike Vrabel are friends. They smoke cigs together, which is great. Sure, from the outside looking in, it makes sense. I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever. And Aaron Rodgers is not coming to the Tennessee Titans. Well, he's too expensive. Uh-huh. You'd have to give up picks to get him. I think you can negotiate with Green Bay. Because, D-Mace, you say if you're not offering two first-round picks for him, then we're not going to trade him. Well, Green Bay wants to move on from him.
Yeah.
Green Bay is done with him. And if I'm Green Bay, I'm cutting ties with him, and I'm moving forward, and I'm not saying, I'm not paying you your money. I'm sick and tired of dealing with your griping. So you'd have to pay him. You'd have to give up the picks. And I don't like giving up picks and paying players, especially when they're 39 years old. His attitude wouldn't work within this culture. It wouldn't work with Mike Vrabel. Sure, they might be buddies, but, you know, in a professional environment, I don't think that would work. I just see no area where Aaron Rodgers and a Titans marriage would be successful.
I agree with you. And I know people are screaming, you know, well, Aaron has the leverage. He doesn't have the leverage. He doesn't. If he chooses, if Green Bay chooses not to trade him, I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is then going to sit out and not play. He may gripe, he may grumble, he may do all these things, but I think at the end of the day, he will come back and play. And if he doesn't come back and play, you're still under contract, buddy. You sit on the side. We're bringing Love and see what he does. If he's great, great. If he's not, then, hey, we're able to move up in the draft and possibly be able to get our next quarterback in the 2024 draft. So if you want to sit there, you're not 29, you're 38. And if you want to continue to sit there and not play, well, you can waste the rest of your career away on the bench.
And we'll fine you the, what is it, $40,000, exactly. $60,000 a day fine. That's fine.
Absolutely. If you want to complain. So if you want to sit there and complain, sit there. But I'm just not going to give you up for pennies just because you've been screaming, oh, I'm retiring. I'm thinking about retiring. I don't know if I want to play anymore. Well, you know what? Well, sit over there for a while and see how you like it. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw with Tom Brady, he retired. He sat down for a while and said, you know what? This seat don't feel too good. I need to get back out there and play. Well, Aaron, you're going to be the same way. So go ahead and sit over there for a while. But we're not trading you for 2 seconds or a first and a third. No. We asked for 2 first-round draft picks. If you're not willing to give that up, all right, thank you. No, thank you. We'll move on with Aaron. If he doesn't want to play, mm-hmm. we'll find him, and he can sit at home. So he doesn't have any leverage other than he's Aaron Rodgers.
I think that would be the only scenario that it ended up falling into your lap almost, mm-hmm. that he has ends up with no leverage, and he's looking around, actually literally looking for a place to play, and you didn't have to get anything up. One thing I do keep in the back of my mind, something you bring up often, Derek, is also how does this fall in line with your plan when the new stadium opens, mm-hmm. right? At 39, he's another guy that fits that category. If he's not going to likely be around when the new stadium opens, right? So this isn't – that doesn't fall with that plan. Now, like if he fell in your lap for whatever reason and you're like, maybe we can make this work. Like, mm-hmm. But to move things around, to compromise your salary cap, to trade – big, big assets.
You would have to trade that Ryan Tannehill.
And you got to figure out something to do with Ryan Tannehill. That's just too much. There's no that doesn't make any sense at all.
And when you compare it to, let's say, the Brady situation, mm-hmm. he's going to be a free agent. He doesn't come with the same baggage that Aaron Rodgers inevitably comes with. So if I'm the Raiders, for example, that's a team that seems like it's going all in for their franchise quarterback. They've got Devontae Adams. They've got Josh Jacobs. They've got a solid team around the quarterback. They've got the coach. It would make sense. So if I'm Vegas, I'm saying, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my franchise quarterback. Maybe Aaron Rodgers could be available via a trade, or we could go get Tom Brady. If I'm the Raiders, I'm saying I'm going with Brady because yep. I don't have to give up the picks in order to get Tom Brady, because Tom Brady has shown historically that he'll work with the contract, he'll work with the money to make sure that, you know, the money that is equally distributed and he can pay the assets on the team. Aaron Rodgers, however, I don't see as being the kind of player that would say, you know what, let's shave off some of my contract so we can give it to a receiver. I don't see him being that kind of guy, but then turning around and pouting about how he has no quality receivers. So, I mean, you look at the two situations, two elite quarterbacks. One is going to be available if he decides to come back to football. One potentially could be available if the Packers do decide to put Aaron Rodgers on the trade market. And I'm looking at Brady as a much, much, much more attractive possibility if I want to move forward with an elite quarterback.
Yeah, because one, like you said, Caroline, Tom's a free agent. So you're not picking up somebody else's contract. You don't have to try to work and finagle your salary cap to make it fit, or you don't have to come out of your pocket to end up paying or asking the other team, hey, can you pay this amount, mm-hmm. and we'll take them. No, Tom comes with no baggage other than 7 Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers, when you come with 7 Super Bowls, then you can dictate to hell whatever you want to. But if you ain't got 7, if you ain't even got 2, you can't be around here dictating what you want and everything else. Again, if I had my pick, and I don't think the Titans are going to get either one, but for different reasons. But if I had my pick, I'd be like, man, I'm taking Brady. He may be you know, 4 or 5 years older than than Aaron Rodgers. But you know what he comes with? 7 Super Bowls and not all of that whining that Aaron Rodgers comes with.
And not the picks and not the money. Exactly. Leave that to the New York Jets.
Absolutely.
To make trades and trade picks and hundreds of millions of dollars for a 39-year-old quarterback. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Predators hosting the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Now, we saw this team take steps forward on Saturday when they hosted the Kings. Why and how can they keep it going? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I mean, we're not trying to pile on here. It's just, I think, for the third time, it's a team situation. And, you know, goes back to the first question about the meeting the other day. I mean, I think the players realize this. And, you know, they have to count on, you know, each other. You just cannot be successful in hockey unless you've got all your parts moving in the same direction. I mean, one guy can't do it. So yeah, Granny and Joey, they know. They've some of the players I believe that spoke out at this meeting, and they know. And I think again that was one of their better all around efforts in their last game. Joey played well. Granny played much better. And you know, we're counting on these guys to be more consistent and get closer to the level that they were last year. So I think if you went up to them, I think they would totally agree. I think they would understand that. And I think at this time of year, they want that challenge. I think they want to be the guys. I mean, John put the power play back together. The five guys that played on the power play last year that was so successful, and we scored a goal. So I mean, hope springs eternal. And again, the time is running short. We play these two games, and then we have the break. We have 34 games left after the break. 22 are in our conference.
There you go. Those Predators general manager David Poile on Robbie and Rex Road this morning asked about, okay, getting more production from Ryan Johansson, who had a power play goal on Saturday, out of Matt Duchene, out of Mikael Granlund, out of Philip Forsberg, who had 7 shots on Saturday night against the LA Kings. Finally getting some things moving from some of your top guys. Of course, the Predators in action tonight hosting the Winnipeg Jets. 2 more games before the All-Star break. What did that meeting mean, Willie? Because I think about, like, the Predators' season last year, how it was like, all the way down in a ditch, and then they brought themselves back up. They were able to dig themselves back up into a playoff spot, and that line of demarcation seemed to be the long road trip that they went on. Whether it was a come-to-Jesus moment for that team, or that team finally started to build some chemistry together on that long road trip, and that kind of seemed to be the line of demarcation. Can we see that meeting have that same effect on this team? We saw it work on Saturday. How can it continue for the rest of the season?
I'm trying to remember back to what you're referring to last year. I think back to last year as a team that was really – they had a bad start. They were, mm-hmm. I think, 1-4 to start the year last year, started to win. And then up until around March the 1st, I really thought they had a formula that everybody was on the same page. The top players that – David Poile referred to, who were a big part of this meeting, were all having pretty good seasons, really good seasons. In the case of Matt Duchene, his best season ever. Philip Forsberg, best season ever. Ryan Johansson, probably his best season in the last 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. right? Mikael Granlund, a resurgent season. And this year they haven't been as good. And I thought last year they, you know, of course, towards the end they sort of hit the wall. They mm-hmm. They didn't have as much zip. Then, of course, they lost UC Saros at the end of the year, and that was it. Let's fast forward to the other day. Derek, I don't know how many times on a team, because I know I've been on teams where you have these meetings, right? Hey, things aren't going well. We've got to have a meeting, right? Sometimes it's with the coaches. Sometimes it's just the players. Sometimes the coach is directing the players. This, I think, was collective. But I think you and I both know sometimes the meetings you hope go well. Mm-hmm. And you walk out of there going, did that do the job? This one appears to have been impactful. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because they played the way they did on Saturday. They looked like a different team, though, on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So much more passion from the top down. Attention to detail. Engaged in the game. And hopefully you can build on that. And that's really the question for tonight. But I think that the meeting had a real effect going forward. And let's hope that means something more than just for a lift on Saturday night. But tell me the meetings you're accustomed to. You know, you really have to hopefully there's some substance to them. You've probably seen meetings where that was the case and probably seen meetings where that wasn't
well,
the case.
Well, I mean...
And you can't have a meeting every day.
Yeah, you can't have a meeting every day.
You've got to pick your spots to have these kind of things.
It's sort of these... a lot of times it's sort of these little pockets of, you know, meetings. Like every group gets among themselves and they talk it out. Like, listen, we need to, as receivers, we need to play better. We know the quarterback is struggling a little bit. We got to elevate our game. We can do it. We just need to do it. Go out there. Everybody pay attention. Everybody's out to practice on time. Don't be lagging behind.
Yeah.
Get in here early in the meetings, because some of that stuff is starting to slip as the season goes. So let's make sure we're doing our job. And then you have sort of those, you know, it's different than hockey or basketball because there's two sides of a ball. And us as offensive players don't play on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive players can have their meetings and their sort of come to Jesus meeting. And then the offense can have theirs. And if still things are still not coming right, as a team collectively, we come together. And we air out whatever is going on in a respectful way. And sometimes there may be shouting.
And there was some airing out in this meeting.
But when you walk out of that room, you want to make sure that everything has been addressed, that every stone has been turned over. So when we walk out this room, we all understand what the goal is moving forward. Like, nobody walks out and says, so what do we do? No, I have walked out of some situation and it was like, man, seriously?
What did we just talk about?
But
I think what you hit on is that's the feeling that they talked about yesterday. They're not going to say specifics, so who said what. But what you got out of that from the coaches and the players, and the coaches were in on this meeting, that there was, quote, honest conversation. Mm-hmm. There was looking each other in the eye. There was accountability. And that had not happened. And, look, we can go back and say, well, why hadn't it happened? You know, but this was the right day. Maybe they had to stink it out in St. Louis for them to come to this point. Look, we got to say something. What David Poile just threw out there in that clip is an interesting example of this, right? The power play. How often have we talked about the power play? What's going on with the power play? Well, last year, the five guys who scored the power play goal on Saturday, which was a great symbolic. When does that power play goal happen? They're down 3-2 in the third period. The five guys reunited from last year. They started this year. Didn't click. All kinds of issues. Why can't we? So you're the coach. What do you do? I can't just. How long do I just keep rolling this out here when it's not working? So he split those guys up into two different units. It gave it a lift for a little while. Then that got kind of stale. So here we are on the crossroads. All right, let's take accountability. You guys want to get back together? Make me put you in there every game. If you do the right things, if you play the right way, this is who should be on the top power play unit. Right, those five guys should be doing it. But when you, time after time, you're not having success and it doesn't seem like anybody's on the same page, you got to try something, right? You got to try to shake it up. So I thought it was very symbolic that they get the power play for the first time in the game. All right, guys, here we go. We had this meeting. We had honest conversations. We got accountability. Go do it. Sure enough, boom, power play goal. That had to instill a little bit of confidence, a little belief that this is the way it should be. And so I think tonight will be the next test. Is it a one-game thing, or do we now have a better understanding of how this team should function? We're back where we need to be mentally. We have a better feeling about the room, and we go from there. We'll see.
And it's going to be a tough test.
This is a good team.
Winnipeg is a good team. Winnipeg second in the Central Division, just 1 point behind the Dallas Stars, hold that top spot. I mean, it's tough. And that's what one gripe that I've had about this team all season long: can't beat the good teams. And not, you know, a loss tonight doesn't necessarily mean that the season's over. But I think that that's kind of this, if you want to change the trajectory of the season, if that meeting really did change, you know, the feeling or the vibe within the locker room, the results are going to have to change with it.
Well, it's, you know, do you want to get the win? Yes. But more importantly, say if you don't get the win, well, why didn't you get the win? How did you play in the loss? Mm-hmm. Did you go out and play 100% and do everything you needed to do? If that is indeed the case, you did that, and you can look at each other and say, I played my hardest, but still didn't come out with the victory. I feel good about that, too.
Yeah.
You know, they were just better than us tonight.
Right. But to your point, Caroline, the margin for error is such that you're going to have some results. But so Winnipeg's a good team. They're a team that their room, their chemistry, their thing was way off last year. Mm-hmm. But it's been really good. It's been a lot of the same guys. They're on the same page this year. They're playing really well. Their top two lines in particular were very hard for the Predators to contain the last time. But the last game, Nashville was missing Ryan McDonagh, Alex Carrier, Jeremy Lauzon. Let's see if they can contain that top offense for the Jets better tonight.
Preds taking on the Jets tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.